Welcome to the New Mexico News Podcast, headlines and stories from the land of enchantment. Brought to you by KRQE. Here's Chris McKee and Gabrielle Burkhart.
So, Gabby, have you ever reported a crime or knowledge of a crime?
Yes, and it was a break-in of, you know, when your window gets smashed kind of thing. That's always unfortunate. My husband's truck. Yeah. And that's happened, you know, in those cases, we didn't know who had done it. Something you got to report. Don't feel super confident that you're going to get a lead. There was another situation, though. Now it's coming to my mind. My dad was visiting from Texas. He drives a Ford pickup truck parked in the driveway at a family member's house in Albuquerque. The next morning, truck is gone.
Oh, stolen car.
The truck was completely stolen.
Wow.
It was actually found and recovered in Bosque Farms.
Okay.
Because my dad didn't have a lot of gas in it. It was empty.
Okay.
So however they got the ignition going with a screwdriver or whatever they used, it also killed the fuse, so they didn't see that the truck was like out of gas. So they ran out of gas.
Interesting.
Dumped the truck. Anyways, yes, reported a crime, but it's never a fun feeling when when that happens to you.
Yeah.
How about you?
You know, I've had my car broken into, but they stole some CDs. I'm not really sure what they were going to do with that. That was in 2013, so CDs were already on the outs at that point, but I did not report that because nothing was really broken. And you know, as many people kind of experience, when you do have something broken into, you have a hard time remembering all of what's been taken. And it may take you a long time to piece that together. And there was another time when I was living downtown, I witnessed an armed robbery. Two guys ran up with guns, fired them off in the air. And a guy who was walking his dog, you know, asked for his cell phone, his wallet. And he was terrified, and police came and took all the information, and we were able to point them out to where the shell casings were on the ground, and they picked them up and they were going to run them, but I did not get any calls back, hear about that case afterwards. And
that's terrifying.
Yeah, it was not at all what I expected, because I just heard the gunshot, looked out the window and saw the confrontation happening. So, but as well, I had that feeling of the police need to know about this, need to know everything that I have seen. I want to help find whoever did this. But then you also feel that vulnerability of, well, I don't want to become the next victim. I don't want them to retaliate. So it was a weird feeling that I had to square with at the time.
Yeah.
And that feeling, you know, we should say that idea that there would be some sort of hesitation behind reporting a crime. It is a common feeling that have. It's maybe as old as crime itself. But born out of that idea in the 1970s was Crime Stoppers. And the origin story behind being able to anonymously help law enforcement solve a crime, it actually started right here in Albuquerque.
Yeah, news watchers and people across the country have likely heard about Crime Stoppers, but did you know that the idea for Crime Stoppers started right here in Albuquerque? We're here to talk about that origin story and some of the crimes that have been solved because of it with Crime Stoppers liaison in Albuquerque. This is Alicia Hernandez is joining us in studio. Alicia, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
First, tell us, how did you get involved in Crime Stoppers? And is it part of APD? What is its mission?
So that's where a lot of people get confused. I am hired by APD, but Crime Stoppers is not part of APD. It's its own nonprofit, and we are consisted of board members from the community. So we get all of our donations from the public. That's how we're funded. We get no money from a government agency.
Got it.
I see.
And how did you get involved in Crime Stoppers? What made you interested?
I have a law enforcement background from probation and parole. And when this opportunity arose, I applied for it and got it after just seeing what the mission was.
And what is its mission, if you could describe it for us, what Crime Stoppers does?
We are a safe place to report crime anonymously, and you can choose to get a reward. There's always a reward offered when we put out a bulletin, and a lot of people choose not to get the reward because they just want to do it because it's the right thing to do.
And we should note as well, Crime Stoppers here, while you mentioned it's sort of managed in a sense almost by APD or hired by APD, but it's not a direct correlation with APD. It also doesn't only serve APD either, right?
We actually serve the Albuquerque metro area as well as Bernalillo County, Sandoval County, Torrance, and Valencia County.
So you end up working with a lot of different agencies in the area on a lot of different things, whether it sounds like
yes.
new cases and old cases, right?
Yes.
We mentioned the idea for Crime Stoppers and how it started here in Albuquerque. This was 1976. A 20-year-old college student named Michael Carmen was working at an Albuquerque gas station when he was shot to death during a robbery. As the story goes, it was an APD detective named Greg McAleese who worked with a TV station locally to actually air a reenactment of the crime, put out money out of his own pocket to encourage people to call him with information about the crime, and he guaranteed anonymity. So what happened, if you can tell us, Alicia, what happened with that case eventually?
I know that it took 72 hours from when he posted the reenactment on the media channel, and it was solved. The investigation was solved. They had all of their suspects in custody. Six other armed robberies were also solved due to that investigation.
So it was kind of the proof is in the pudding, you could say, that
yes.
this really was an idea that worked.
Yes. And from there, it's nationwide now.
And I read, you know, in that case, there were two men charged with Carmen's murder, and detectives were also able to connect, like you mentioned, the men to a string of robberies. So starting with that promise of anonymity, why do you think that piece of it is important for a program like Crime Stoppers to work effectively?
I think a lot of people are, they have knowledge of things going on. They have knowledge of crimes that have happened, but they're afraid. They're afraid to be targeted, to become a victim themselves. So Crime Stoppers is a safe space where you have laws that actually protect your identity. And that should make people feel comfortable enough to call Crime Stoppers, knowing that they are protected.
Yeah, it does seem like people have information. And it almost does feel like a very human thing that when you know something, you kind of want to tell others. Would you agree with that? That it seems like a lot of these tips that are coming in, you know, people just, even though they knew something bad happened and, you know, may even have a connection with one of the suspects or something, they just feel like they've got to tell somebody.
Yes, you can tell from the tips that we get in. They just want to tell someone so bad. Sometimes they want to talk to a detective about it. The thing is, once you identify yourself in your tip, then your reward is nullified because that's how we protect our program and guarantee the anonymity of our tipsters.
Interesting. So for some context into how much the program has grown since the 70s, according to the City of Albuquerque's website today, Albuquerque Metro Crime Stoppers, or AMCS, that model has been replicated in over 1,200 programs in all 50 states and more than 20 countries. So tips to Albuquerque Metro Crime Stoppers have led to the arrests of more than 2,000 fugitives and helped close over 7,300 cases in the Albuquerque area alone. So when Crime Stoppers puts out a notice, you know, it sounds like you're kind of putting some of those notices together these days, maybe a little bit with the help of obviously the team of detectives from all the different agencies there. When it comes to putting out notices that ask for the public's help, can you give us an idea of just how many tips Crime Stoppers has to field typically? Is there a kind of average number that you get? And sort of how are these tips authenticated?
From a year ago today, we've gotten 2,429 tips.
Okay.
And those are distributed to the appropriate law enforcement agencies, and the detectives that get the tips are the ones that verify.
Okay, so that's within 1 year.
That's
a year's worth of tips.
Yes.
Okay.
So depending on if we had something big happen in a month, we would get a higher volume that month. But typically we get between 170 and 200 tips a month.
Okay. And all those are sent to the respective law enforcement agencies who then work to authenticate it.
Yes.
And how often is it that, you know, you're getting tips on just the things that you put out there? Or is it just people are calling in with, old cases that maybe you didn't put a Crime Stoppers notice out on? Is it mostly geared towards the things that are sort of happening now, the alerts you've most actively put out?
I would say the most tips that we do get are the things that are coming in from the bulletins that are generated or our Metro 15 offenders that are out.
Is it you and like folks in a call center? Can you give us like a visual picture of what does Crime Stoppers office look like?
Our call center is actually not local, but they are the ones that handle all the tips and they send them to me. We have kind of like a computer system and I have an office here in Albuquerque. So it's just me in an office.
Oh, wow. Okay. And you have people working in the call center though?
Yes.
Remotely?
Yes.
I see. So it sounds like it's a remote call center, you know, that kind of aggregates all of the calls that come in and then they delegate, they give them all over to you.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's kind of an undisclosed location.
I see.
Got it. Okay. And so how does it work when somebody submits a tip? You can now do it, you know, by phone, online, and even through an app, correct?
Correct. So the app is called P3 and you can download it on any phone. You can go to crimestoppersnm.com and we have a button that will take you directly to the P3 website, or we have our call center that's 505-843-STOP or 505-843-7467. We also have a Facebook page. I monitor that all day. People send me messages on there. The only thing, again, with the anonymity, if you send a tip through that, you won't get a reward because you're not anonymous.
Good to know. Yeah. And to get a reward, I want to follow up with the couple caveats there, right? For starters, you know, according to Crime Stoppers, you can only get a reward for an anonymous tip. So like you mentioned, if a tipster identifies themselves even by accident, they would not be eligible for a reward. Crime Stoppers also has sole discretion to decide the amount of any reward to be paid, from $0 to $2,500. Also, does a criminal have to get arrested or a conviction in a case for the tipster to receive a reward from Crime Stoppers?
For us, they don't have to get a conviction, but usually if it leads to the arrest, you're going to get a payout. Sometimes there are other circumstances that can help to locate a fugitive, not necessarily arrest them at that point, that we can pay out on. Usually we have a meeting where the board will meet and we will vote on a tip amount. So that's why it says up to 2,500, because we kind of have to calculate certain things and that gives us a recommended amount.
So there have obviously been some tech upgrades since this program started, since the 70s. You think about cell phones and the internet weren't there at all. And the primary communication for a lot of people was they'd read about the news, you know, the newspaper or the newscast that night. So
yeah. And then they'd dial up their phone, call it in.
Yeah. No kidding. It's just a very different information age back when this started. We mentioned though, now that people can submit a tip through an app more than ever now, it seems like crimes are consistently as well caught on surveillance cameras. Everybody's got a doorbell camera, it seems like, these days. So people can get a look at the suspect usually. Has technology, you think, helped in solving crimes overall? Because technology has also added another thread of anonymity to a lot of crime that's out there, actually. But has technology, do you feel like, helped solve crime or just made it more complicated these days?
Well, with the cell phones, you know, people can video anytime that they want to. A lot of tips we get, people will, you know, screenshot certain things on social media and send it in, and detectives can access that and that makes it easier for them. And just surveillance video, we can do still shots and put out our bulletins that way. So that helps a lot.
Yeah.
But do you think ultimately it has helped solve crimes, or?
I would say so. I would say especially with all the video that's put out there.
What are some of the biggest challenges you think in getting someone to come forward with information to solve a crime these days?
I think people do question the anonymity part and they are really afraid that if it were to go to court or something, they would have to testify. But that's why we have the laws put in place that protects them.
It truly is anonymous.
It truly is.
In all forms of this information.
Yeah, whether you're on the app or you call the call center, go go to the website. It's truly anonymous.
So how do you get the money then from the reward if Crime Stoppers doesn't know who you are?
So that's one thing I can't talk about. You get specific instructions through the portal, or if you call back the call center, they give you a number, and that's how you can go back and check on your tip status. And from there on, if your tip did lead to an arrest, you will be given specific instructions.
Oh, okay. And is there a particular case or cases that stick out in your mind that, you know, were it not for Crime Stoppers, the crime may not have been solved? Can you tell us about an example?
So from the September 2023 incident, that's probably our most recent incident that happened, where the 11-year-old was shot at the Isotope scheme. We actually got several tips on that. Two of them specifically led to locating the offender and identifying him.
Wow. And those were Crime Stoppers tips?
Yes.
Wow. And that was a huge story. We're talking about 11-year-old Froilan Villegas, right? And his family's truck was shot, I want to say 17 times with bullets. And that suspect vehicle had initially got away. And I remember that was a big question from the public, right? There was a police presence. How did the suspect get away from that scene? But ultimately you're saying it was, you know, regular citizens who saw it, recognized it, called it in.
Yeah, because it was at the Isotopes game. And I think a lot of people witnessed it. So we did get a lot of tips. A lot of them were similar tips, but they ultimately led to the arrest of the offender.
What happens in a situation like that where there is multiple tips that lead to essentially the same thing? Is there a sort of the first one up would potentially be eligible for the reward, or is it the same people who've submitted the same information could all be eligible for the same reward? Do you have to make a decision about eligibility in that case?
I usually talk to the detective on the case and ask him, hey, which tip did you receive that helped the most? And they'll say, okay, these three really helped. And that's how we decide from there. And I take that in front of the board and we vote on it. But usually the detective is the deciding factor on that.
How do unsolved cases reach Crime Stoppers? Because I know, you know, sometimes we have the immediate cases, sometimes cold cases come up into Crime Stoppers realm. And about that, how do unsolved cases reach Crime Stoppers? So is it detectives that eventually, you know, come to you guys and say, hey, we really would like some leads on this type of case? Or does that get decided in any different other way that you can maybe shed some light on?
That's probably the first way that we get those cold cases out, is by the request of the detective. Or sometimes we know that an anniversary is coming up for a big crime that happened in the past, and we'll repost that for the public to see, like the anniversary or the anniversary death of a certain individual, stuff like that.
And what are some recent cases being highlighted by Crime Stoppers, and what sort of tips are you looking to generate now as we're recording this?
I can think of one. I mean, it's obviously this weekend.
We begin tonight with a massive manhunt underway for the suspect who shot and killed a New Mexico State police officer outside Tucumcari.
Crime Stoppers immediately got involved in the case involving Jeremy Smith, right?
We did. We partnered with Quay County Crime Stoppers and the FBI.
Well, we're learning more about the horrific encounter on I-40. State police today suggesting the officer was ambushed. News 13's Jessica Barone explains what we know so far.
Police say Officer Justin Hare had stopped to help 33-year-old Jeremy Smith with a flat tire yesterday morning. That's when police say Smith went up to Officer Hare's car and without warning pulled out a gun.
When crime happens, it obviously can happen any day of the week. Is this something that you're having to deal with kind of on call? You know, you're the liaison, you kind of hear about it. What is it for you like to get involved in something so immediately? What drives you to want to be a part of this as well, and to kind of be a part of that information apparatus, getting something out to get people to ideally send leads back? Why do you do it?
I come from a law enforcement family, so getting the bad guys off the street is my drive. I really love to be involved in that, and I really want to get those tips in. If we get a good one, I want to send it to the detective right away. Like, I want to make sure, because they're working around the clock, so I want to assist in that to help apprehend, especially what happened this past weekend I was all in for that one.
Yeah. And for listeners who don't know who Jeremy Smith is, he was the suspect caught this weekend accused of shooting and killing New Mexico State Police officer Justin Hare.
It happened early Friday morning on I-40 near Tucumcari. And Officer Justin Hare had essentially been responding to a call for a car that looked like it was in need of assistance, pulled over on the side of the freeway. And the officer pulled up behind him, and almost immediately when that officer arrived, Jeremy Smith came out of the car, went to the passenger side of the state police officer's vehicle. They had a short conversation, and then from what state police have described, Jeremy Smith opened fire on the officer, and he ended up dying from his injuries.
The feds are taking the lead with the death penalty now a possibility against the man accused of killing a New Mexico State police officer. News 13's Jessica Barón is live in the newsplex with details that were unsealed in federal court documents today.
1 week ago, investigators say Jeremy Smith ambushed state police officer Justin Hare, shooting and killing him on I-40 near Tucumcari. Today, Smith faced a federal judge on charges that could cost him his life.
So, but ultimately, it was a tip that came from a store clerk who called in seeing the suspect on the west side of Albuquerque. So, and this was, you know, the suspect in that case on Friday was able to get away. There was a manhunt, massive manhunt. Law enforcement from New Mexico and even our bordering state of Texas looking for this suspect, but it was a store clerk who had recognized the suspect, right?
Yes.
When something like that happens, right, you obviously have a Crime Stoppers reward out, and that's incumbent on people anonymously reporting it to Crime Stoppers through Crime Stoppers. This was slightly different, though. We know that the person who spotted Jeremy Smith ended up calling 911, so a different avenue for reporting information. Is there still a nexus there between the Crime Stoppers reward and somebody who calls in information from 911? Is it a case-by-case basis? Do you look at things and say, like, should this person, even though they called it in, it was a tip that significantly helped crack the case, should this person who didn't maybe call the Crime Stoppers number directly, should they be eligible for a reward? Do you have that conversation?
It's definitely a conversation we're having right now with the board, but I know Quay County Crime Stoppers, everybody has different bylaws, and I know that they're going to be able to pay out their reward since it was done through 911 and not Crime Stoppers. But it's definitely a case-by-case basis, and it's a conversation that has to be brought up in front of the board.
So we know you all had recent conversations with our newsroom as well about trying to find avenues of highlighting some of these Crime Stoppers cases. We're working on essentially highlighting two cases a month in our newscasts. And so, for example, if there's surveillance video from a crime you're trying to solve, we can show that in a newscast and hopefully, you know, get some more eyes on this, help spark maybe some of those tips coming in. It has evolved, certainly, since the days of reenactments. We don't really do those on the news these days, but, you know, those certainly have been helpful in the past. How do you see things like this overall in the realm of helping crack down on crime in the community? Is Crime Stoppers helping get officers to a place where they are solving more cases in the community?
I would say for the detective units, it has definitely given them tips to lead them in the right direction. The smallest tip that we would think would be nothing is a lot to the detective because we don't know what they're investigating. So Crime Stoppers has assisted, I can speak for our APD detectives, in a lot of cases. It really helps them, especially our apprehension teams and like our narcotics unit. It really assists them.
Do you think people would be surprised to know that like Crime Stoppers has that real powerful kind of impact? Because you don't really come out there and sort of, wave the flag and said, we do this, you know. Do you think that would surprise people to know just how much information comes into Crime Stoppers that is truly helpful?
I think so, because I think a lot of people kind of know about Crime Stoppers, but don't really know what it's about or what it does. You know, social media, we're going to try to start like a TikTok and stuff for the younger generation to kind of see, because I think they have a big voice as well, since a lot of our offenders have been younger.
certainly we've seen a trend, and we've covered that as a podcast episode, just the amount of young people being involved in crime, seeing a rise in particularly in violent crime, the nexus of youth involved in that.
Yeah, you almost have to, you know, we're seeing law enforcement agencies try to meet the youth where they are, right? Getting on to the social media apps. And how can people usually see a crime of the week or get more information about something that Crime Stoppers is trying to solve? Is it usually just by watching local news outlets, or is there like a landing page we can lead people to?
I would say our most popular page is our Facebook page, which is Crime Stoppers NM. We also have a website, but that is not updated as much as like our social media platforms.
Is there anything else, Alicia, that we didn't ask you about that you'd like to add or want people to know about what Crime Stoppers does?
I wanted to throw in there that we also have campus Crime Stoppers. We're actually trying to collaborate with more APS schools. There are a few schools that have posters around letting students know that they can call Crime Stoppers for anything from bullying to gun violence. And we do pay out rewards to those tipsters as well.
What are the typical rewards that you pay out? I think that's one thing we haven't really discussed so far. It can range, it seems like.
It can. And the lowest tip that I've paid out since I've been with Crime Stoppers has been like $400. And that was for like a report of property crime. But in the last year, Crime Stoppers has paid out $8,465 in rewards.
In the Albuquerque metro area.
In the Albuquerque metro area. And that's in, just in the last year.
Wow.
Yeah, that's quite a bit. And certainly, you know, if you look at that Facebook page, you can tell that the work is never ending for you guys. There's always a new case to talk about. If people have suggestions about cases perhaps they think should be featured on Crime Stoppers, do you take suggestions?
I take suggestions, but I do not take requests from the public. Unfortunately, all my requests come from law enforcement.
I see.
So if you want to work with your detective can reach out to Crime Stoppers and we can get the ball rolling from there.
Got it. And for the uninitiated, again, what's your sales pitch? How do you get people to participate? Who do they call if they need to report something?
505-843-STOP. You can go to our CrimeStoppersNM.com website, or you can download the P3 app on any phone.
Alicia, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks again to Alicia Hernandez with Crime Stoppers here in Albuquerque. We'll put links in our show notes to the webpage for Crime Stoppers. If you have information about a crime that you want to help solve, but you want to remain anonymous, feel free to contact them, because apparently they play a very important role in solving crimes.
Yeah, as Alicia described, the Isotopes Park shooting certainly was solved with help from anonymous tips. I mean, there are certainly many others that have popped through. You can check their Facebook page, as Alicia was saying. That definitely gets updated quite a bit with all of their most recent bulletins. And yeah, just check out those stories, hopefully here on KRQE over the coming months, where we're going to take a deeper look into some of these cases that they are putting out there and needing help with. If you have an idea yourself, you can always email us, chris.mckee@krqe.com. Also at chrismckeetv is how to reach me.
And I'm gabrielle.burkhardt@krqe.com via email, and gburknm on social media. Thank you all for listening.